It's evident to anyone who's involved with or who has been following the farm financial situation of late. Things are not nearly as favorable as we would wish them to be. And the outlook, well, there are some potholes there, too, which we will address today. But moreover, what's going on with the farm economy and some of the repercussions we'll see financially for farmers and ranchers? That was the theme of a presentation at the recent Risk and Profit Conference at Kansas State. One of those who is presenting this information is with us now. He's the head of the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State, Alan Featherstone. This is a subject that is inescapable, Alan. It's clear the farm economy is in something of a hurting condition right now.
That certainly is the case, Eric. We went from, in 2014, about 120,000 net farm income, and then in 2015, it dropped to about 4,500 using Kansas numbers. What we've been able to do here is we've been able to look a little bit more in depth with regards to some of the changes that are going on with those farms in terms of looking at repayment capacity, debt-to-asset ratios, working capital, just to get a feel for what some of the adjustments did occur and then what some of the adjustments that farmers may be able to make going forward to essentially alleviate some of the stress that they're currently under.
What has driven this change in the farm economy? It is commodity prices falling, but is it more than that?
The bulk of it is commodity prices falling, and with that, it's just the readjustment that will likely need to take place in land values and costs of inputs and just how farmers end up producing. A little bit more belt tightening, a little bit more looking at the income statement and really seeing if there are places where costs can be reduced. Also, there may be some need to think about the withdrawals that are made for family living in terms of whether or not some of those increased expenditures during the good times might be able to be rolled back a little bit to provide more cash to make sure that the farm is prepared for a couple difficult years.
Well, these benchmarks that you listed earlier that you've looked at closely and attached some numbers to these so we have a feel for where we're at economically in the Kansas farm economy anyway. The phrase repayment capacity, explain what is meant by that.
Yeah, basically what we're looking at repayment capacity is we take all of the income that's generated on the farm and non-farm income. We end up subtracting all of the expenses. But then we look at how much is taken out for taxes, property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes at the federal and the state level as appropriate. We also look at family living expenses, how much is taken out there. Then we end up looking at what is needed to pay off principal and debt. So essentially that gives us a repayment capacity ratio. If that ratio is above one, what that means is there's enough cash on the farm operation to essentially make all the payments and have some left over. If it's less than one, what that means is that there's a shortage. And so essentially there, in order to make all the cash payments, the farmer does have to dip into savings. And whether or not that savings on the farm or off the farm, those will begin to be drawn down. Or alternatively would be to adjust some of those outflows that are going from the farm, such as the family living or such as the costs used to generate that income. But adjustments do need to be made, sometimes quicker, sometimes longer, just depending on where the individual farm is.
But presumably, and this is drawing from Kansas Farm Management Association records, that repayment capacity has been very steadily declining over the last few years, and this past year really took a tumble?
Yes, it really did. If we go back as recently as 2011, essentially it was right up at 150%. Basically, that's a pretty good situation in terms of it means that you're saving 50% above what your debt and principal repayments are. And so that is a historically high number. It then steadily decreased. In 2014 was the first year that it went below one, indicating that adjustments were needing to be made. In that case, it was 0.95. And in this case, at the end of 2015, it went to 16% or 0.16. And certainly the magnitude below one is pretty important. And if you look back over history, the repayment capacity ratio had not been as low as it is now, all the way back to 1981. 1981 was slightly worse than we were in 2015. But again, that repayment capacity certainly does jump around from year to year, and we're coming off a situation where that repayment capacity had been abnormally high.
It is extraordinarily low right now. How does that translate then into financing availability for farms and ranches?
That, I think, is really an unknown. And one of the things I think really to look at, so far financing has been available in the sector. And I think it's really critical that financing does remain available in the sector, even though we are going through difficult times. I don't think we want to repeat the issues of the last farm crisis, where farmers no longer had the ability to get credit. And what that tends to do is it ends up leading to more farm assets being put on the market. And so that ends up making the financial situation all the worse, simply because asset values drop more than really they need to. Mm-hmm. You can almost liken that to what happened to the general economy when we were entering into this Great Recession-type period. One of the things the banking system was really concerned about was making sure there was enough liquidity such that you would not unnecessarily force profitable businesses for the long term out of business simply because of short-term liquidity-type issues. And so I think we can maybe learn some lessons there, and hopefully we can adopt some of those in the farm sector such that we do make sure that for those operations that are fundamentally well managed and have good perspectives going forward, even though we're in a difficult time, that they do have the credit to weather these difficult times.
We've yet to bring in the factor that certainly is part of the picture here, the farm safety net. In your presentation at Risk and Profit, you did address that in brief, and what sort of relief that safety net can provide as sheer commodity prices are low as they are. What farm safety net strengths can we see, if any?
Certainly, I think it was hoped that the farm safety net was maybe a little bit stronger than it's turning out to be. One of the things that we've seen, if you look at crop insurance, and this not only affects crop insurance, but it also affects the ARC, agricultural risk contract, that essentially was a shallow loss type program. Both crop insurance and the ARC, they begin to adjust downwards. Crop insurance adjusts downwards much quicker with price changes than the ARC, but the issue is that net is getting lower and lower and lower as time passes. For example, in 2013, if we would look at corn, we were able to insure $678 per acre. For the 2016 crop, that had dropped from $678 to $463. And using current commodity prices for December 2017 prices, unless we see a drastic change in commodity prices, that will again fall for the 2017 crop to $451. And so essentially farmers are managing roughly about 40% more risk than they were just 3 or 4 years ago. The ARC contracts, those are going down. The PLC, in some respects, price loss contract, essentially that is fairly stable. And so once prices get to that point, and in wheat they are to that point, corn and soybeans are not quite there yet, that will provide some support. Unfortunately, if you look at the choices made in Kansas, really the only crop that had more than 50% of the contracts in the PLC was sorghum. Corn, soybeans, and wheat ended up having less than that. And so those farmers will be subject to a decreasing ARC safety net.
Now, another aspect of the government program, loan rates weren't even part of anybody's consideration 3 or 4 years ago. They are now. So will those serve to ease some of the pressure?
Certainly it will in some respects, but I think it's pretty important to realize that even if they do ease the pressure, we're still in a negative situation. Really, the main thing that's going to ease the pressure would be for something globally to cause prices to increase. in terms of where we are, in terms of the cost structure, and that it's going to take a huge change in the costs that we're spending on crop production and, in some respects, livestock production in order to bring us back to profitability. And certainly that can occur, but again, that would be a painful process.
Well, Alan, you had much more in your presentation that we want to get into with you. We need to take a break, if you'd stand by. Alan Featherstone, K-State agricultural economist, is with us, and once more looking at the general farm financial situation and some of the offshoot effects that will be in play, not only for the next few weeks, but certainly the next months and maybe beyond. We'll return with more from Alan on this after this break.